We're holding on page Chof Tes in Shabbos, Ois Mem, near the bottom. The Mishnah is continuing to talk about various kinds of equipment and accessories and whatnot that you're not allowed to wear outdoors on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, Lo yetzer ish lo b'sayif, a man is not allowed to go out on Shabbos with a sword. V'lo b'keshes, or with a bow and arrow. V'lo b'tris, or with a shield. V'lo b'ala, or with an ala, which the Gemara gives a translation of it as kulpa. We'll see in a second in the Gemara that it translates it as kulpa, which it actually explains as a mace, which is a type of club that has a spiked ball at the end of it. There's different other explanations. I think the Rambam understands an ala as another type of shield. Whatever, or with a spear, the inyotza chayev chatas. If a person goes out on Shabbos with any of those, then he's chayev chatas because that's actually considered carrying, as opposed to some of the other things in the perek where it's only also derabanan because you might take it off and then show it off, or because you might fall off and you'll carry it or whatnot. These are not considered clothing at all, and therefore a person would be chayev. On the other hand, Rabbi Yezer matachshit in heimloi. Rabbi Yezer says no, a person would not be chayev chatas. He'd actually be, maybe even he'd be allowed to wear them, or at least even if he's not, it would only be derabanan because they're tachshit in huloi. They're ornaments for him, as we'll learn in the Gemara. Rabbi Yezer learns from a pasuk in Tilim that a sword and other such weapons like that are an ornament for a man to carry. But the Chachamim say, and this is not a third opinion, this is just the Chachamim are clarifying the Tanakhama's opinion. They're saying that no, weapons are a matter of gnai, they're a shameful thing. They can't be called a tachshit at all. Shenema, as you have the famous pasuk, when Mashiach comes, v'chitasu chavoysam le'itim, they'll cut up their swords to make them into plow blades, v'chaniseseham l'mazmeiris, and they'll cut up their spears to make pruning shears out of them, etc. And they won't learn warfare anymore, so weapons won't even exist. So therefore, they obviously can't be tachshitim, otherwise they would still exist for ornamental purposes at that time. So the Gemara says, my ba'ala kulpa. So what is an ala? Is a kulpa, again, according to Rashi, and the Orucha means a mace, and I think the Rambam understands it to be another type of shield. Rabbi Yezer is saying that weapons are an ornament for a man. So Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, the argument that the Chum made to him is, as like we had in the Mishnah, Omer Loi Rabbi Yezer, if they're ornaments for a man, then why are they going to cease to exist in Yemos HaMashiach? And as the Pasuk says, everybody's going to be turning them into farming tools and whatever instead. So Rabbi Eliezer tells them not because it's a degrading thing like you're saying in the Mishnah, but because they're not going to need him anymore. Because the pasuk says nation won't lift up a sword against another nation, so therefore they won't need it anymore, and therefore they might as well make them into farm implements. Well, the question is, but they have the noy ba'alma, so why won't they keep them? Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, why won't they keep them as ornaments for beauty? Because it would be like a candle in the middle of the day. A candle in the middle of the day is not something nice, because you don't need the light of it. That's drowned out by the light of the sun. The same way, when you have something which is useless anymore, like weapons, the Moshe Mashiach, then it can't be considered a tachshit anymore. So even Rabbi Eliezer will agree that that's a reason why people will stop having them, and they'll turn them into other things. But he says, at least up until that point, it can be considered a tachshit, because the fact is, we live in a time when there still is war, and therefore it can be considered an ornamental, beautiful thing for a man to carry. However, the Gemara says, a pliga de Shmuel. Now this that Rabbi Eliezer is saying, that weapons will cease to exist in Yemos Mashiach, that disagrees with Shmuel. Shmuel says, a few places in Shas, we had it in Brachas as well, that the only difference between our world and Yemos Mashiach is only that we won't be subjugated to the Goyim anymore. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, Kila Yechdal Evyan Mekerva Aretz, so there will never cease to be poor people from the world, so therefore, Olam Kimin Hogin Noyeg, famously, and we have the Rambam brings it, we're now in Hilchos Malachim, in both tracts of Rambam, and of course the Rambam famously brings that point in the Olam Azeli Yemos Mashiach, Belshub and Malchus Bilvad. Although with that said, the way that Amnon lists over there, he says that there are going to be a number of differences. So there are Meforshim who say that Amnon uses the phrasing of Shmuel, but he doesn't fully agree with him. He agrees that there are going to be a number of differences in society and whatnot that for example, that Amnon says famously at the very end of there, Kolam Adanim Mitzuyim Ka'ofer, and all kinds of things like that, which suggests that there's not going to be, that Amnon says, there's not going to be poverty and war and whatnot anymore, where the Gemara is saying that Shmuel would hold that there still will be. So that Amnon may be using Shmuel's phraseology, but not actually completely agreeing with him. Anyway, the point is, Shmuel is saying that there will still be everything evenly most Mashiach, so therefore, according to him, there's no reason for weapons to be bottled. They'll still actually be needed. In that case, what does he do with the pasuk about Lo Yisa Goy or Goy Sperev? So Marsha explains, he would hold that's not Yemos Mashiach, but Olam Haba. As you have the famous thing that you have, there's the Rebbe formalized it in a Sicha, but long before the Rebbe, there's the concept, which is alluded to in various places in Shas, that you have Yemos Mashiach, and then later on you have Olam Haba, which the Rambam famously holds is a world of neshamas exclusively, and the Ramban holds that no, it's a world of neshamas in Gufim, but in any case, it's a time when the world is going to be on a completely different level. So Shmuel would hold that pasuk is referring to them. So there is an idea that says that there'll be Tchias HaMesim, and then 40 years later there'll be the next stage. That doesn't necessarily map onto Olam Haba, onto Yemos Mashiach versus Olam Haba specifically, but yeah, it's somewhat related. Anyway, Marsha points out, you know, the fact is obviously that when the pasuk is saying that they're going to make the swords into plow blades and whatnot, obviously we have to be talking in a time when farming is still taking place. Therefore, we can't say that it's referring to Olam Haba. So therefore, it must be referring to, it has to be, there's a difference between the world of only the Shamas versus the time of Tchias HaMesim. In other words, that according to Shmuel, in other words, it would come out, there are several stages. There's Yemos HaMashiach, that when Olam Tumin HaGenoyeg. Later on, there's the time of Tchias HaMesim, when indeed there won't be war anymore, but there will still be farming because people will still need to live in bodies. And after that, you have Olam Haba. Then you have the machloitus between the Rambam and the Ramban. What happens during that time? Anyway, the point is this: that Rebbe Eliezer is saying that there's going to come a time in Yemos HaMashiach when weapons will be bottled. That disagrees with Shmuel. Now, how can Shmuel and Amoda disagree with a Tana Rebbe Eliezer? So one answer is that in matters of Agadta, it's fine for an Amoda to disagree with a Tana. Only in matters of Halacha can you not do that. So on the other hand, the Sayalin, the Priya Ba'aba, on the other hand, this that we're saying that weapons will be bottled, the Mos Mashiach, and this by the way, Tosfos points out, when you say Ein Min Olam Hazeh L'Mos Mashiach, obviously there are going to be differences even according to Shmuel. There's going to be Kibbutz Galdius, there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash, and so forth. He doesn't mean that that's the only difference, is Shibud Malchus. It just means that that's going to be a major difference, but not, in other words, in terms of that society is really going to be much different, and so forth. So this whole thing also supports this that we're saying that weapons will be bottled in Moshe Mashiach. That supports what Rabbi Ba'aba says. Everything that all the Nevi'im talk about, what's going to happen, is all talking about Moshe Mashiach. And that's when they're talking about that weapons will cease to exist, and there'll be peace, and so on and so forth. Aba la olam haba, but the next stage, olam haba, on that, the pasuk says, Ayin lo ra'asa, lekim zo l'secha, that no eye but yours, Hashem, has seen it, meaning that even the Nevi'im have not described it. So that fits with what we're saying, that in Yemos HaMashiach already weapons will be bottled, and therefore so the Chachamim say, therefore that shows that even now they're Gnai, and Rebbe Eliezer says, no, they're attached, but once they're not needed anymore, then they're not needed, and then they're not attached anymore. So Yemos HaMashiach would be the time when Mashiach comes. So again, Shmuel is saying that Ein Ben Olam Hazeh L'Mos Mashiach El Shibud Malchus Bovad. According to Shmuel, the only difference, as Tosfos says, but it means, in other words, the basic difference is going to be that we're not subjugated to the Goyim anymore, that we now have Mashiach as our king, and we have the Beis Hamikdash built, and Kibbutz Galdius, and so forth. But other than that, Shmuel holds Olam Kamin Hagi Noyeg, everything else in the world will continue to run exactly as it does now, including, that's what the Gemara is implying over here, that there will still be warfare between the nations themselves.
She could
come, right. No, we were talking about after we came, right? Yeah. So for that, according to Shmuel, that's what we're saying. Again, right, so apparently Shmuel would hold that Tchiasa Mason. Now, he may agree, maybe, that there, you know, it does bring in different places that there's going to be a certain limited Tchiasa Mason first for the exceptional top-level tzaddikim, and then later on there's going to be the general Tchiasa Mason. Yeah, the Rebbe talked about it, but again, it's found in... but it's found in Sfarim long before the Rebbe also. The Rebbe kocht it, but yeah, anyway. But Shmuel may well agree with that, or maybe not. I mean, the Gemara does, I don't think the Gemara specifies one way or the other. The Gemara does elsewhere mention Moshe V'Aaron Imahem, yeah. So far what we've said is that we have the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer both agreeing that weapons will be bought to La'asid Lavoi, meaning the Moshe Mashiach, and that fits with what Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba says, that what the Nevi'im are talking about that taking place will be the Moshe Mashiach. On the other hand, it disagrees with Shmuel, because Shmuel is saying that even the Moshe Mashiach, even after Mashiach has come, there will still be warfare. The Ikadamri, now another version of the discussion went, Omru Leila Rabbi Eliezer. A second version is that they asked Rabbi Eliezer, again, starting with the same question, if you, Rabbi Eliezer, are saying that weapons are an ornament for a person, then why will they be bottled? Why will they cease to exist in Mashiach's times? And in the second version, in the first version, he agreed with them that in Moshe Mashiach they will be bottled, and he explains why, because it would be like a candle in the middle of the day. In this second version, he said to them, no, after the Moshe Mashiach, ain't it them. As a matter of fact, no, they will not be bottled in your Moshe Mashiach either, only later on in Olam Abba. Hainu de Shmuel, in which case, according to that second version, Rebbe Eliezer agrees with Shmuel that Ein Ben Olam Azeh, the Moshe Mashiach, al Shibud Malchis, and therefore that even in your Moshe Mashiach, there will be war. And in that case, Rabbi Eliezer necessarily is disagreeing with Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba, because Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba is saying that the promises in the Nevi'im, including no more warfare, will take place in Yemos HaMashiach. So, okay, two different versions of what Rabbi Eliezer holds. So, Omalei Abaye Lerav Dini, Abaye asked Rav Dini, Va'amri Lo Lerav Ivya, others say he asked Rav Ivya, Va'amri Lo Rav Yosef Lerav Dini, another version is that Rav Yosef asked Rav Dini, Va'amri Lo Lerav Ivya, or the fourth version is Rav Yosef asked Rav Ivya, Va'amri Lo Abaye Lerav Yosef, the fifth version is Abaye asked Rav Yosef, of course it could be they asked multiple times, whatever, my time of the Rav Eliezer. Where is Rabbi Eliezer getting this idea that weapons are considered a tachshit, such that he needs to then explain what's going to happen with them in the Moshe Mashiach? Da'amar tachshit in Heimloi. Where is he getting that from? So, d'chtiv, you have a pasuk in Tillim. So, you have kapitol memhei in Tillim is, it starts off, lamnaseach, maskil shir yedidos, and then the whole thing is a song in praise of, on the surface, it's a song in praise of a mighty warrior king. And there's a pasuk in it, which we're going to quote now, that talks about him strapping a sword on his thigh. So just give chagur chaduchal yorech giver. The pasuk says, "Gird your sword on your thigh, you mighty man. Hoid chavandarecha. It's your glory and your beauty." So Rabbi Eliezer gets from that a sword and all the other weapons that we mentioned in the Mishnah are a beautiful thing for a soldier to be wearing. But omalei Rav Kahana the Ramadrei Rabbi Nahai b'divrei Torah k'siv. How is Rabbi Eliezer getting anything from that? That pasuk is talking about divrei Torah. Meaning, in other words, it's comparing it the same way as a mighty soldier has to make sure to have a sword ready at all times so he can pull it out and use it at a moment's notice, the same way, make sure that the Torah that you know is ready and available to you at a moment's notice. So always make sure to review it. Marshall points out that the previous psukim are more clearly talking about a Talmud Chacham. The pasuk begins, Rochashli, the capital begins after the caption, Rochashli be dover toiv, my heart is stirring with a good word to say. The end of the pasuk, Lashoni eight sofer moher, my tongue is like a skillful sofer's pen. And so it's talking about being skillful and knowing to speak divrei Torah. So clearly, then the next pasuk also, Chagor Chabachal Yorech Giver, is continuing talking about how a Talmud Chacham, how the consummate Talmud Chacham, how he has to be. So how can Rabbi Eliezer say that teaches us that weapons are attached? Amalei ein mikra yotzim de pshutam olam. So the Maggid of an answer is true, but nevertheless, a pasuk never loses its simple meaning. Meaning, in other words, that even though it's true, the pasuk is a mashal for divrei Torah, but nevertheless, the mashal itself has to be true as well. The pasuk wouldn't use a mashal where the mashal itself is not valid. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says the fact that it uses a sword as a mashal for divrei Torah, and it's saying that's the glory of the soldier to have it ready at all times, that has to be true on some level, even though the actual meaning of the pasuk is talking about how a Talmid Chacham should be. So the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana says in this connection, now that he asked Ma'abri Eder Ravina and got this answer, he says, Kad Havena Bar Tamni Sreishnin, when I was 18 years old, V'hav G'munel L'chula Talmuda, I had already learned the entire Talmud, which of course, you know, the Talmud, as in the Shas that we have, hadn't been fully composed yet. Rav Kahana, there's about 6 or 7 Rav Kahanas throughout Shas. So which Rav Kahana this is, I'm not quite sure, but whatever it is, in his times, Shas as we have it was not completed yet. But they have the concept of it, that you have the analysis of the Mishnayos and reconciling Mishnayos and Braises that contradict each other and understanding the reasoning behind the halacha and so on and so forth, which is what Talmud, which is what Gemara is all about. So at 18 years old, he's saying, I already learned all of that. Nevertheless, until now, until I got this answer from Ma'abri Eder Ravina, I never realized that a pasuk never loses its simple meaning. There is, by the way, a Gemara in Yevamos that says there's one solitary exception to that. The pasuk mentions over there, the Gemara mentions over there, a pasuk in connection with Yibum, where we don't at all learn it according to Pshat, we learn it strictly according to the drasha that Gemara says over there, that the Bechor, that the eldest son, is the one who's supposed to do Yibum Chalitza. The eldest brother is the one who's supposed to do Yibum Chalitza, unless he's not available or unwilling or whatever, and then you have other dinim, even though the Pasuk makes it sound like the firstborn, the Pasuk, Bahoya Bechor, Asher Kaled, Yochum Hashem, Ochid Ames, which makes it sound like the firstborn son that the Yavama has after the Yibum should be named after the dead brother, her first husband. In fact, it's not at all like that. We don't follow that at all. But other than that, you have this rule of Ein Mikriyetz Medev Shorten. So Rav Kahana is saying, even though I'd learned the entire Shas, I didn't know of this rule. Now, how could he not know of such a rule? So Anaf Yosef brings a couple of possibilities. One of them is that since we know that the whole Torah is Shmois of Shalach Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it's secrets, deep secrets, so he thought that maybe the Pshat of it is not really so important. So now he's informed for the first time. Now he's informed for the first time that the pshat actually has a meaning as well. The other meaning is, in other words, that again, sometimes you have many places in Tanakh, you have a mashal. And like we're saying, the idea was that the mashal itself has to have a truth to it as well. The Torah won't use a mashal that itself is untrue. So Rav Kahana is saying, when I told this point, I never knew that concept. Okay. So in any case, that's where Rabbi Eliezer is getting his opinion from. So the Gemara says, Mike Mashmalon, what does Kahana want to inform us by telling us what happened with him? The Ligma Inish Vahadur Lisbar. First, a person should learn Torah, learn as much as possible, even if he doesn't understand it fully, and then later on he will figure out the svaris of it. Because here, Rav Kahana had already learned what Rabbi Eliezer says in our Mishnah and the whole discussion about it. He didn't understand what Okay. So the Ligma Inish Vahadur Lisbar, a person should learn as much Torah as possible, even if he doesn't fully understand it, and then work on understanding the reasons behind it. So that's what Kahana is saying, that it was important that at 18 he had already learned the entire Talmud, the entire Shas, even though he didn't fully understand all the reasons behind it yet, and only later on did he discover things like this. So let's talk more about this business, about how a Talmid Chacham should be, and things that we learn in that connection from a pasuk in that Kapitel Tehillim. The next pasuk after Chagur Chabachal Yorach Giver, the next pasuk continues. The pasuk goes like this: V'had Dorchot Slach Rechav Al Dvar Emes V'Anvot Tzedek V'sercha neirois yiminecha. That's how the pasuk goes. So now the Gemara is going to douse in that pasuk phrase by phrase. So Amar of Yumi, Amar of Elazar, Shnei Tamar Chachamim hamachadidin zela zeh b'halacha, two Tamar Chachamim who sharpen one another in halacha, meaning that they ask questions to each other and give answers, and Rashi stresses not like a peach, not to cut the other person off, and like to say, look, you, I gave a question, and I stumped you, and you don't know the answer, but take in order to sharpen each other, so they both understand the concept well. So then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzliach lahem, Hashem will make that they'll be successful in their learning. So we dash in the hey, we replace with a ches, because they sound very similar, and they also look very similar, and the dalet with a resh, for the same reason they look very similar. How do we get such a drasha? Marsha points out, the previous pasuk also ends with the word v'adarecha, hoidcha v'adarecha, and now the next pasuk begins v'adarecha, which is the same word. So why is it repeating the same word again? So therefore, we have this drasha, that the chidur, the sharpening, causes slach, that they will be successful. Not only that, but they go up to greatness. Hashem causes them to ascend to a high position when they do that. Because the pasuk continues, be successful and wide. Implying like a rider is higher up than everybody else, so the same way they end up being higher than everybody else. Marsha points out, you have, for example, we find by Yosef and by Mordechai, we find in Moshe's bracha to Hazinu, Moshe mentions Yakivehu, Abomas Se'orek. So writing is always a symbol of greatness. Yochol Afilu Shalor Lishma. Now you would think that applies even if they're not learning Torah Lishma. That, for example, Marsha says, let's say they're not asking and answering in a way to taka understand the depths of the Torah, but just in order to show off the pupil that they're capable of doing. So then maybe you would think they also get this greatness. No, Tamabayma, Al-Dvar Emes. Therefore, the pasuk continues on a matter of truth. It has to be that they're learning Torah with the motivation to find the truth. Yochalim Higis Daitai. Then you would think, what about if the person is trying to pride himself on it? He's taka, like Rashi had said, Mekapeach, doing it in order to cut the other person off and to be able to tell him, ha, look, I stumped you. Therefore, the pasuk continues the humility of righteousness. So there has to be humility, there has to be anov, in order for this to work. The im oisin came. If they do that, zoicha the Torah, shemit them yamin, then they will be zoicha to understand the Torah, which was given from Hashem's right hand. Meaning, Marsha says, we're talking about until now, these are Tamid HaChamim, who they know how to learn, they're working with each other on how to learn, but they don't yet know how to teach at the paskin halacha for other people. Now, as a result of when they do things properly, then they have that, Shenema, as the pasuk continues, the Sercha, and it will teach you Noroi Siminecha, awesome things from your right hand, meaning the Torah, which is the awesome Torah, which was given from Hashem's right hand. They will have this chus, the Sercha, that it will teach them, and they will in turn be able to teach others. Rav Nachman Yitzchak comes zeh from the Dvarim, Shenema would be Mina Shal Torah. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says a different explanation of Noroi Siminecha, means that people who act this way, Tamar Chacham, who act this way, will be zeicha to achieve the things that are associated with the right side of the Torah. Omar, the Omar of Shilava, the Omar Rabbar of Shilava, Amila Omar of Yosef, Acham, Omar of Sheshes. My dichtiv, what does it mean in the positive? Orech yom bimina, the length of days of a long life is in the Torah's right. Bismola Oshav Achavid, in its left is wealth and honor. So what does that mean? Ela bimina orech yom ikka Oshav Achavid leka. So what does that mean? In the right side, there's only length of life, but not riches and covered. Why shouldn't there be? Rashi explains. In other words, if there's orech yomim, surely all the more so there should be Oshav Achavid.
Yes, so.
Yes, why shouldn't it be that way? Why should there be only the one and not the other? What the question is, a number of the Mephoshim over here deal with the details of what exactly the Gemara's question is. The Rif explains, because since it says, Orech Yomim Mina Bismola Oshav Achavid, it makes it sound like it's two separate statements, so it's talking about two different kinds of people. So why should we assume that that one person gets only from the right and the other one only from the left, rather than why shouldn't we assume that there can be one person who gets the best of both? Ion Yaakov says that the vote is, why do we have only one advantage on the right side and two Osher B'chavad on the left side? So Ella l'may minim ba. Rather, what it means is for the people who learn Torah with the right side. Meaning, so Rashi says a person's right hand is usually stronger. So it means they put all their strength and all their effort and all their talents into delving into the Torah and trying to understand it as best as possible. So then they get Orech Yom and Ika. They have length of life, V'chol Shekein Osher V'Kavod, and indeed also they have how much more so they're also entitled to Osher V'Kavod for it. On the other hand, for the people who go to it with the left side, then they don't put all their effort into it. They use like a person who uses his left hand, which is weaker, so they're not putting very much effort into it. They will have wealth and honor, but they won't have length of days from it. So therefore, so in other words, sort of Nachum Yitzchak is saying, when we say in the previous pasuk that we were quoting, the pasuk Ba'adar HaTzlach, when it ends off, V'sorcha Neroi Siminecha, it means these Tamar Chacham, who are Mechadin and Zelo Zeba Halacha, who sharpen one another, since they're doing it with the right motivations, they're doing a Ma'imin and Ba, they're putting all their efforts into it, therefore they have the schus that they earn all those brachas that are associated with the right side of the Torah. Rashi gives a second explanation of Ma'aminim and Masmi'ilim. Ma'aminim would mean people who are learning Torah Lishma. Masmi'ilim would be people who are learning Shaloi Lishma. So then even the ones who are learning Shaloi Lishma, they still have an advantage. They get the Oshiva Chavit, but they don't get the Arichas Yamim. The Gemara continues. Amr of Yirmiya, Amr of Shimon Lakish. Shnei Tamar Chachamim Hanoichim Zeva Zeba Halacha. Two Tamar Chachamim who are gentle one with another when they're learning halacha. So Rashi explains that these are people, they sit and learn Torah together in a gentle way, in a way to make sure that each one will be able to learn from the other. In other words, not in an aggressive way and in a way of challenging one another so much, but in a way that each one will be able to learn properly from the other. So then when they do that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makshiv lahem, so Hashem pays attention to them, Hashem listens to them. Oz nidbur yira Hashem isha ve'ehu v'goyim. It says then those who fear Hashem spoke one to the other. And when we say nidburu, ein dibur elam nachas. The word dibur over here means to speak gently. As we find the pasuk that says that Hashem will subjugate the nations underneath us, so they, and Rashi explains that refers to subjugating them gently. So we often say that dibur is harsh, but here we're saying that fakir means to speak to them gently. Right, they'll speak against their enemies in the gate. Right. It could be that the Gemara is distinguishing over here between a word like Yidabru, which is more of an active form, versus Nidbaru, which is more of a passive form, which suggests therefore a certain gentleness. Yidabru Asav Mashar suggests that they speak harshly. Right, they're fighting, right. So I'm saying the same shodesh daber is often, it's true, it is often used to mean harshness, but here the Gemara is saying that fakir, it means to be gentle. Maybe the Gemara is taking it from the fact that you have the word nidbru instead of dibru or something like, or some other similar form to that. Rashi's second explanation of Nosen Zeloze means that they lead one another to find out the truth. You have, for example, in the pasuk, Hashem says to Moshe, "Lechem nechtei esha'am," and yadber is the Aramaic equivalent of leading. So it means they lead one another, they guide one another to find out the truth. So then Hashem listens to them, and they have oz nidbur yashem yishareu ein dibur elam nachas, and then dibur means to lead them gently. Shenem yadber amam tachteinu, as we're saying that Hashem will lead the nations gently underneath us. That same pasuk Oz Nidbur Yira Hashem Yishareu finishes off that Vayakshav Hashem Hayishma. The pasuk says, we have it a couple of times in Pirkei Avos, that Hashem pays attention and listens. Right, Tosef Sefer Zikaron Lachonav LeYira Hashem Olachoshve Shmoi. The pasuk finishes off for those who think about Hashem's name. So Mayo Olachoshve Shmoi. What does that last phrase mean? Even if a person thought to do a mitzvah, the nenes, the loya saw, but there was an oinus and he was unable to do it, the pasuk counts it on his behalf as if he actually did it. So that's the lochoy shvei shmoy, because they thought and they wanted to do the mitzvah and just they were prevented by something beyond their control. Which is not the case with an Aveira, the Gemara mentions in Kedushin, yes. So you have the idea of Machshava Tova, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzav for Lamaisa versus Machshava Ra is not right.
Except for
Avodah Zarah. Omer of Chanina Ba'idi, Kola Oysen Mitzvah K'man Mora, when a person does a mitzvah, the way that it was said, meaning that he does it L'shma, Ein Mevasrin Oysen Besureis Rois, he will not be given bad news. As the pasuk says, the one who guards the mitzvah will not know of a bad thing. So whatever happens may happen, but he won't have to know about it. And then be besar on it. Marsha brings over here a remez in this connection that the word mitzvah. Now the mem in atbash, the mem transforms into a yud, and the tzaddik transforms into a hey. And then the vav and the hey of mitzvah are left as is. Therefore, you have the whole shem avaya. So when a person is doing a mitzvah lishma, means that he's bringing shem avaya into the world. So therefore, when he does the mitzvah k'mam mara, the way it was said, means he's doing it lishma and he's bringing down, well, of course, he's bringing down shem avaya into the world. And so therefore, that's why he's called shomer mitzvah. He doesn't just do the mitzvah, he's guarding it, meaning that he's guarding to do it in the best possible way, lishma. So then we're saying that he has this reward for that. Omer of Asi v'Tamer of Chanina, furthermore, afilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu gozer gzera hu mevatla. On behalf of such a person, even if Hashem made a bad gzera, he will be mevatla. That could mean Hashem himself will be mevatla, or it can mean the person himself will have the schus to be mevatla. Shenema, as the pasuk says, that the previous pasuk says, v'asher dvar melech shilton, wherever the king's word goes, there is the rulership. So who can tell Hashem what are you doing? The samach le shomer mitzvah lo yeda davar ra. And the next pasuk is this shomer mitzvah lo yeda davar ra. So we see that there's a connection. The shomer mitzvah will not have to know the bad thing that even when the king, even when Hashem has issued a decree, this person who's shomer mitzvah will not have to worry about it because Hashem will be mevatelet on his behalf. More on the topic of Tamar Chachamim who learn together. Amr of Abba, Amr of Shimon Lakish, Shnei Tamar Chachamim Hamakshivim Zelazeb Halacha, two Tamar Chachamim who listen to one another in Halacha. So Rashi explains that this third one means that they're teaching each other and they're learning from each other. They're understanding from each other how to understand what they're learning better. Iyun Yaakov explains a bit of a nuance over here is that Makshivin Zalazem, Makshivin literally means listen. It means that each one, when he's learning, he doesn't want to say for sure this is the true meaning of what we just learned until he also listens to the other person's point of view to see whether that's something that he needs to incorporate into his approach as well. So when they do that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemei Al HaKolam, Hashem listens and pays attention to their voices. Shenema, as the pasuk says at the end of Shir HaShirim, Hayesheves Baganim, you who are sitting in the gardens referring to the Batei Medrash, Chaverim Makshivim LaKolech, the friends who are listening to your voice, so that the two friends, the Talmid HaChachamim, are listening to one another's voice and paying attention to it. So Hashem says, Hashmi'ini, make me hear your voice. I want to hear your voice because I want to hear your voice. V'im ein oisin kein. On the other hand, if they don't do that, if they don't listen to each other, they're just trying each one to outdo the other and not to pay attention, then gurman l'shchina shikastalik mi'Yisrael, they cause, on the contrary, the shchina to leave the Jewish people. Shenema, brach dodi, as the next pasuk, the last pasuk of Shir HaShirim, begins, brach dodi, run away, my beloved, so Hashem, so to speak, runs away from such people. Marsha explains, the limud actually is like this. The pasuk brach dodi is actually referring to that we're asking Hashem, run away from the Talmudic lands of Chutzlaretz and come back, the pasuk ends off, al hori b'samim, to the mountains of spices, meaning to the Beis Mikdash, bring back your Shechina over there and bring back the Beis Mikdash over there. So now we're saying, in other words, that when the people, when these Tamar HaHamim are doing the right thing, the Makshivim Zelazeh, that causes that the Shechina Taka runs away from Golus and goes back to Horeb Samim. It causes that the Shechina should rest again where it's supposed to. So therefore, that it follows then that the reverse is also true. If they don't do that, then they're causing the Shechina does not go over there and the Shechina instead goes away. Another thing, another case of Tamna Chachamim who learn together and do the right thing. Amr of Abba, Amr of Shimon Lakish, Shnei Tamna Chachamim Hamadgilim Zelazeh Bahalacha, two Tamna Chachamim who are Madgilim one another in Halacha. Meaning, so Rashi says the word madgilin means they gather, because like a Marsha explains, a degel is a flag where everybody gathers around the flag. Like in the midbar, for example, the Dgolim of the Shvatim. So Madgilin Zelazeh means they tell one another, come, let's learn together, and we'll try to understand what we're learning as best as possible, because we don't have a Rebbe available over here to learn from. So therefore, instead of, the better thing would be that we all go to the Beis Medrash and learn from the Rebbe, but because he's not available, then therefore let's us gather together, and we'll learn on our own. So when they do that, So when they do that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oyhavon, Hashem loves such people. Shenema, as you have in also in Shir HaShirim, the Digloy Olai Ava. His flag, his banner over me is love. So we have these people, are Madilim Zelozeh, so Hashem loves them for that. Tosfos brings a different explanation of Madilim. Tosfos brings that the word Magdilin is actually related to an Aramaic word that means to speak wrongly, to misuse. Me'ila is lo yimal piv, that it says about a king, lo yimal piv. He doesn't speak falsehoods with his mouth, and the Targum there uses the word yidgol for that. So what we mean is, these people, they don't fully know everything in what they're learning, so they may be actually coming to wrong conclusions. Nevertheless, Hashem still loves that they're putting in the effort, even if they don't fully understand what they're getting at. So that's a Madilin Zelazeh. That's a different explanation of Madilin Zelazeh. And that also fits with the Digloy Olai Ava, because elsewhere the Medrash says the idea, Iyun Yaakov brings up the Medrash on that pasuk, brings the idea that Digloy is also related to the word Dilugoy and the word Lidlugoy, which means even when people mispronounce or slur or misunderstand or whatever what they're learning, the fact that they're putting in effort into davening and into learning, Hashem appreciates it, even if they're pronouncing the words all wrong. The Medrash gives examples over there of children, for example, when they're learning in Cheder, and they may be mispronouncing the words, and Hashem still appreciates it. We have in the Tefillah that the Chazan says on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Hini Nihani Mimas, we have that expression, Hina Dilugenu, Diglenu Alecha Ava, that even our slurring and our mispronunciation and whatever should be beloved to you, Hashem. So it fits with this idea that Tosfos is saying that even if these people don't fully understand what they're learning and may even be coming to wrong conclusions, the fact that they're putting in the effort, Hashem still appreciates it. Dilug also means skipping, right? Yeah. So Omar Rabbah, who did Yabit Sura Deshmaita? Now that would only apply if they know the basic outline of the sugya. In other words, they at least learned something of it from their Rebbe. They're not just starting from scratch, and they may be completely going on the wrong path. They at least learned enough from their Rebbe to have that they're not going to be too far off. That they're not going to be too far off in the conclusion. And also, it's only provided that they don't have a Rebbe in town that they can learn from. Because if these people, if they're not on a high enough level to be able to understand it fully themselves, they shouldn't be relying on their own seichel. Between themselves, they should be going to that Rebbe if he's available. But if he's not available, and they have at least learned the basic outline of it so that they realize that they're not completely going off the wrong way, then that's what we're saying, that Hashem appreciates the effort they put in, even if in the end they're not fully coming to the right conclusions. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gola, Tess Yassin. Hashem desires that we Jewish people should ask him and demand the Geula. So that I've talked about, it's in Chelek Lamed, every single year has to learn from the way Yaakov Avinu wanted. You have the famous thing, Bikish Yaakov Leshet B'Shalva, that Yaakov wanted to live in tranquility. So what does that mean? So as long as Mashiach has not come, every year it has to be wanting to live in that tranquility of Mashiach's times, and not only to want it, but to demand it. as the expression of Chazal have that Rav Shimon Yochai explains that you have during all the wars that David fought, during all the years of his kingship, thousands of people were killed, thousands of Jews were killed in those various wars. Why was that? Because they didn't demand the Binyan based in English. Different Medrash also says that the plague that came at the end of David's time was also as a result of that. And the Medrash goes on to say, Madach, those people, the Beis Mikdash hadn't even been built yet, and they're supposed to demand it. We, who already, we had a Beis Mikdash, and then it was destroyed, and therefore the Chassidim and Rishonim made the rule that we have every day. We have to daven. We daven 3 times a day, that Hashem should return us Shchina to Tzion, and bring back the Avodah to Yerushalayim, and all the brachas about that, and the Avodah Yerushalayim is a bracha of its own, in Shemini Esrei, and in Birkas HaMazon. This is all in the Medrash. All of that is brought by halacha. Also, the Beis Yosef brings it in Orach Chaim, in Siman Kuf Pei Ches. Why is it in the bracha of Bonu Yerushalayim? Why do we need to mention Malchus Beis David Mishichacha? Because when we're asking for the rebuilding of, we have to ask for the reestablishment of Hashem's kingship and of Malchus Beis David and of the Beis Mikdash. As you have, a different Medrash says that the Jewish people will be redeemed only when they confess how they rejected all those 3 things and demand them all back. We have the pasuk that we say in Kiddush Levana, O Victuas Hashem Alekem, there's David Malkon, and so there's a medrash that explains that at the time when Yerovam and the 10 Shvatim seceded, they rejected all 3 of those things. They rejected the Malchus of Hashem and of David and the Beis Mikdash. And when is the Geula going to come? When we demand to have all 3 of those back.
So also that we only have the Ula when we're all united.
That's a different thing, yeah.
That's the main point.
Okay. Continuing on halachos of Shech Yonu and Atovam Beitiv. So we talked about yesterday about the basic concept of saying Shech Yonu versus Atovam Beitiv. Shech Yonu when it's good news for you alone, Atovam Beitiv when it's good for somebody else as well. And Diana Emes is the same basic rules. So you have the famous Mishnah that says that a person has to bench Hashem for the bad just as much as for the good. Where b'chol levavcha means to use both your yitzarim, yetzer tov and yetzer hara, which means also that when a person is oisik in mundane matters of this world, they should also be doing it with a frame of mind of b'chol derachecha de'ehu, to know Hashem in all his ways. Or b'chol nafshecha means even if Hashem is taking away your nefesh. Or b'chol moedecha means with all your money. And davar acha, another meaning of b'chol moedecha, is b'chol mido shul moedibach. Every measure that Hashem meets out to you, whether it's mida tova or mida sparanus, you should be thanking Hashem. So the bracha for that is dying emes. What if a person gets a whole bunch of news all at one time, a whole bunch of pieces of good news, or chas v'shalom the opposite? Then it's enough to say one bracha. And the point is also that a person has to be saying the bracha on the ra also with the same full das and the same willingness as he would for the tova, as you have. Dovra Malach expresses it in Tillim. Chesed, the Gemara brings it. Chesed and Mishpat Ashira, L'cha Hashem as Ameira. He says, I'll sing to you of Chesed and Mishpat, meaning whether it's Chesed or whether it's Mishpat, I'm going to sing to you. Because even a person who serves Hashem knows that even the bad things that come to him is really a reason to be simcha, to be the simcha and to be happy, because he accepts ba'ava, what Hashem brought on him. He has a munah that everything is there to clean up his averus, and therefore, so when a person does that, when a person has that mentality, then it comes out. He's serving Hashem at that time also, and serving Hashem is the simcha. Yivduas Hashem the simcha, and therefore, when a person has that frame of mind, then it comes out, he's taka able to say the brach of the simcha. But the Kabbalah B'Simcha. Nevertheless, as we ever talked about all the time, we should have that we have Tov and Nira van Nigla. It shouldn't just be the kind of thing that's actually Tov, but we perceive it as the opposite. But it should be that we have actually something that's Tov
L'matam Asarot Tzvachim. Good news and the opposite is enough to make the
bracha. We're saying if you have a bunch of pieces of good news at once. Let's say, for example, you have the news that your wife had a baby and you just won the lottery, for example. So then it's enough to say one Shech Yonu or one Atoy Vameitiv rather to cover both. Oh, then you'd have to make 2 separate brachas, one Atoy Vameitiv or Shech Yonu and the other one Dynamis. No, that means we mean a bunch of different kinds of news of the same type, both good or both the opposite, both things that are good but we don't perceive as such. Okay. Okay. Okay.